So I'm going to present some of the highlights of the research findings from the Northeast Center for Research to Evaluate and Eliminate Dental Disparities, otherwise known as the CREED Center, because we believe that we can accomplish our mission, which I will tell you about as soon as I disclose that I have no financial relationships related to this presentation. And CREED's mission is really twofold, really to improve the oral health of the general population, coincidentally, along the same lines that you heard from Ruth earlier, not only through the research that we do as a center, but also by trying to expand the cadre of investigators interested in oral health disparities from both within the dental profession, because we need more people involved, but also from the other disciplines. And dissemination of health information, not just oral health information, but health information in general to the general population, all with a focus on eliminating oral health disparities. And the disparities that our center is focused on is also early childhood caries. It takes a large group of individuals, and these were the primary partners that came on board to start this work. You'll see at the end of the presentation that they no longer can fit on one slide, much like the UCSF Center. And all of those individuals agreed on sort of two organizing tenets to really focused our work. The first is the idea that oral health matters. We know early childhood caries is a disease with real impacts on the child and the family. So to understand that more fully and to be able to quantify that, to raise the level of importance of oral health and oral health disparities across our nation and the world. And we know that prevention works, and trying to develop best practices to disseminate the things that we know work into communities who need our services. So there are four research projects, primary projects, that are part of the CREED Center. The first is led by Dr. Ann Tanner, and she focused on the microbiota of children with oral health disparities. And this is sort of a summary of the work that she has done. This is the introduction. We all know that, or it wasn't surprising, the first results that children, there was a higher percentage of children who had detectable strep mutans who have early childhood caries. That's not new to anyone, regardless of where the intraoral sample was taken. These are kids who are 0 to 3 going to pediatric well child visits. But what her work is really doing is trying to understand more globally what the impact of the oral bacteria in the mouth is, specifically in looking at health disparities in the area of ECC. So when you actually use a DNA probe and look at all the bacteria intraorally that are found more often in kids who have early childhood caries, it's clearly much more than strep mutans. And so she's trying to understand which bacteria, both either alone or in some combinations, are really causing or contributing the most to this problem. It's not just strep mutans, what we focus on so much. And so we will have more information and have a final story to tell when the results of this study are available for presentation. We just finished data collection the end of July, so we will be sharing with that data with you the next time that we meet. But the purpose of the study is to look at the bacterial loads in children who have severe early childhood caries, those who are at dental clinics who need to go to the OR for treatment. And so we'll talk about some sort of the psychosocial measures and other things later. But this part took plaque samples of the children when they first presented at the clinic, prior to their surgery, and every time that they went to the clinic up until post-surgery, and then following them longitudinally, and trying to understand what that bacterial profile that I showed you using DNA probe analysis looks like when they have the active caries, then immediately after surgery, and then following them in time after the mouth has been cleaned up through the surgical intervention. The second project is led by Dr. Spiro and Jones, oral health-related quality of life in children and adolescents. And the primary aim of this study was to develop a validated instrument to measure pediatric oral health-related quality of life that focused on not only the impact on the child, but also the family unit as a whole. And we now have a 20-item questionnaire that's been validated in English. And there is also a Spanish adaptation, which means it wasn't just translated into the English translated into Spanish. They went through a structured process of focus groups, guided interviews, to make sure that we were really capturing the cultural issues that were important in Hispanic quality of life. Subpopulation that we don't have is Mexican American, so we still need to work on that for the future. But what's unique about this pediatric quality of life instrument is that it focuses not on just how often an event occurs, but it has another dimension of how bothered the family was by the event. So you can imagine that something may have happened 6 or 7 times in the past 6 months, but if it was of little consequence to the family, it may not be as important as something that happened 3 times, but really had a major impact on the family. So this instrument combines both of those dimensions to give us a fuller picture. And then she's currently working on, and actually almost has completed, a short form of this instrument, which has 8 questions, which we will be able to utilize more readily in screenings, epidemiological surveys, clinical settings for outcomes. So we're very excited for that to hit the prime time. The third project is the parent project to the microbial intervention, or the microbial study that I mentioned earlier. It's led by Catherine Hayes, and it's looking at the effect of severe early childhood caries and that comprehensive dental intervention on the weight of children. And so right now, all we have is the baseline data. As I said, we just finished collecting the longitudinal data this July. But what we saw is that at baseline, those children with severe early childhood caries actually had higher BMIs, higher caloric intake, and higher fat intake than their caries-free peers, which I can talk to you more about later, but it was actually the opposite of what our hypothesis was going to be, given some existing research at the time. But what we're going to be looking at is how that then dental intervention impacts their trajectory on the standard growth curve using BMI, whether it would actually bring them down or bring them back up or put them back on sort of the normal curve or not. And then we have a wealth of dietary data that were also collected at the time, so we'll be able to see how those individual dietary differences, not only in fat and calories, but also in micronutrients, might impact their health. The fourth project, decreasing rates of early childhood caries through a healthcare provider intervention, was led by Dr. Nancy Cresson. And it's really based on the tenets of patient-centered counseling, which you may be more familiar with, thinking in terms of the smoking cessation and the 4 A's, the ask, advise, assist. And Dr. Cresson had been working in this field in smoking cessation and other behavioral risk change. And so she created an adaptation to use for early childhood caries. And so she trained pediatricians and pediatric nurses in a tertiary care hospital to implement this intervention. There was a control group at a neighboring hospital in the city of Boston, which just got ECC, sort of in-service knowledge based. And the intervention group got the actual counseling training, as well as a change in their medical history form to remind them to do the counseling. And you can see that at the intervention site, there was much more behavioral counseling that occurred compared to the comparison site. And that actually translated into a change in the health outcomes of the children. 18% in the intervention site had, there was an the incidence rate was 18% at the intervention site compared to 32% at our control site. So in summary, the new pediatric oral health quality of life instrument with a focus of oral on quality of life impact is one of our center's findings. We have a more thorough, or we will have shortly, a more thorough understanding of the impact of bacteria, oral bacteria, on ECC disparities. We'll understand how severe ECC affects the growth of very young children. And we have a patient-centered counseling adaptation for ECC that was shown to be effective in a tertiary care hospital pediatric setting. But as I sort of glossed over in the beginning, but I hope you got a sense of, we see our center as much more than just those four research projects, that we, like so many others, really use this as an opportunity not just to leverage sort of NIH or additional federal funds, but to also look within our own community to get additional support from foundations, our local Delta Dental. And these are some examples of ways that we were able to either expand the work that we were doing or to take some of our existing findings and import it into other populations and other communities in Massachusetts. And we also really focus on dissemination, not just in venues like this, but looking at sort of what we would have been outside of our purview before, presenting at the March of Dimes and other such venues. And also really focusing on the legislature. We haven't had a legislative report specifically, not for a while. If Dr. Lutkin's here, he can talk to the one that was commissioned in the year 2000. But what we do have is a Massachusetts oral health report that we have about 5 years running now. And the Disparity Center has been either a major contributor or sometimes a sole contributor to that report, which goes out very broadly, and communities use it to help bolster themselves and use it to get grant funds. But the primary audience is also the legislature to provide them some education so that they can make informed policy decisions as it relates to oral health. And we've had similar successes. Fluoride varnish is now an approved procedure in Massachusetts as well. And we actually have unlimited fluoride applications right now. And physicians, pediatricians, and family docs just now are getting the ability to apply and be reimbursed through our Medicaid program. So we're very pleased with that. So next steps, we also were fortunate to have a phase two of CREED. So we're going to be working on incorporating those oral health quality of life measures as some of our outcomes for our next studies. We want to take the patient-centered counseling intervention that works so well in teaching hospitals and see if that's transportable to community health center settings and even private practice settings. And then finally, expand these counseling activities out of clinical settings and try and bring them to the communities and use laypersons. Our focus is going to be using resident health advocates in public housing sites. And finally, we couldn't have done all of this work or think about moving on without the entire research team, which you see listed here. So I want to thank them all, as well as thanking you for your attention in this very long session.
Thank you, Michelle. You're actually on time. Thank you very much. Well, I know we are already over our time, but at this time, I'd like to invite the presenters forward and then maybe entertain a couple of questions. Just short questions and short answers. Over there, Myron.
On the xylitol use, what's the estimated cost per year for a child for that?
Estimated cost per year, that's a good question. The xylitol school age study is actually a more comprehensive study where the xylitol is randomized, but the other components that children are getting include twice a year fluoride varnish applied in the medical setting, as well as getting sealants in the medical setting. For the xylitol itself, it cost us about $4 a pound to have it produced, but that is the production of the of xylitol gummy bear itself was a difficult process. As I said, we needed to identify a producer who would be willing to produce the gummy bear.
I've asked the salesperson for the manufacturer.